Jhené Angola Jr., the podcast.
I don't know if it's burned or not seasoned. Something's going on in Pittsburgh right now, and I can't make heads or tails of it. Jhené Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Jhené Egbuamoke. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the show. Penzoa Performance Line. And Jhené, it's a strange Monday around here because we come in here and we take the temperature of everyone coming off the weekend. And we know we've got a lot of stuff to be excited about. I know it is Stanford Day and maybe Stanford Week for you in a lot of ways that we are going to get to here very shortly. We've got some Giants fans on our staff who are reeling a little bit after a really poor showing from New York this weekend. We've got an Eagles fan in our midst who is very excited about the future. But we know we've also got a Buffalo Bills win on Monday, which means Christine Lisi, our very own SportsCenter Update anchor extraordinaire. You've seen her become a star on the Dan Le Batard Show. And around here in this building, the biggest Bills fan that I know has to be walking in here. Christine was 10 foot tall and bulletproof when I saw her in the hallway. Now, nothing can touch her or stop her at this point. Christine, you have got to be the this is the happiest I've ever seen you, I think. I think it's got to be by far, Christine, the happiest I've ever seen you. Oh, yeah.
It was a good night. Not going to lie. And I brought in victory cookies. I even made them before the game. Not that I was overconfident, but I was I was just going to pass them off as cookies.
Oh.
If the Bills did not win. But they're victory cookies because the Bills won.
Well, see, you know what? I like the spin on that, Jhené, because a lot of people are going to go after. For everyone that missed it, the Bills get a big-time statement win. And we talked about this last week. Sunday Night Football, prime time. 26-15 over the Steelers, and for a lot of time looked like they were punching them in the mouth. But it's a great spin there by Christine on cookies versus victory cookies, because a lot of people are looking back at Juju Smith-Schuster out in TikTok pregame dancing on the Bills logo, and they're going to look back at it after and go, look at Juju, he fired them up in that way. It's like he was just doing the same thing he always does, much like Christine, but now after this win, they become victory cookies, Jhené.
No, I really love this just because I'm going to make everything victory something after the thing happens that works well. Like, that's a good trend to set, good precedent to set, Christine. You should be happy, Christine, especially if you're part of Bills Mafia and Bills Nation, just because this is a team that I think going into the season, what did we know? We knew the defense would step up. We didn't know how far Josh Allen would push forward this season. And I know at times it's been inconsistent, but it seems like all the pieces are coming together at the right time. The defense is stepping up. Offensively, they're able to look more consistent. And I just love, I mean, having Stephon Diggs out there helps. But it just seems like if you're trying to actually accomplish something, and I think we all know the standard is the Kansas City Chiefs, even though this weekend we've seen that, all right, they are human, but even being human, they have superhuman abilities to still come back and make it look so easy. The Bills look like that team that is trending in the right direction, has enough of its parts, whether it's the quarterback that's dual threat, the defense that's playing better, and then offense that can actually hold things down. They look like the team that is poising, and especially with health moving forward, in the direction of like, okay, maybe finally we can accept that this is probably the best contender for the Chiefs. Because I know a long time we've been saying it was the Steelers, and the Steelers look like that's heading a completely different direction when it comes to them.
Jhené Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Jhené Egbuamoke. And this is the interesting thing to consider, because you're right. The Bills on one side, we talked to Aaron Schatz from Football Outsiders weeks ago in the season, and he said, yeah, funny thing happened. This Bills team that we thought was a great roster with questions at quarterback was actually dragged along for a lot of the year by their quarterback, and now that roster appears to be catching up. And so, yeah, they're this week's number one at the top of the list of teams we think can take down the Kansas City Chiefs right now. And what do you need to do that? We've heard a bunch of different theories posited. Dan Orlovsky, our great ESPN NFL analyst, says you got to be able to go out there and score and hit on big plays. So that's why, like you said, Stephon Diggs being the first receiver in the NFL to 100 catches this year matters. Why Stephon Diggs being on pace to set a Bills franchise record in single season receiving matters in all of those cases. But Jhené, it's still going to be an interesting bit of styles make fights. And that's what brings us to the other side of this in the Pittsburgh Steelers, is what's going on with this team now. We know 3 games in 12 days for a team that is beat up, injured, and has a quarterback that's up there is certainly going to be an interesting formula for success. But Ben Roethlisberger, their quarterback, was asked after this game about the Steelers' offense and what's gone on with it in the last few weeks. Here is what he had to say.
You know what? Defenses can play pass if you can't run the ball. So we need to do better at being a more balanced offense, and we need to do better at executing the plays that are called.
Chiné, how surprised have you been watching this slide now from Pittsburgh in the last couple of weeks where they do look like a one-dimensional football team?
Not surprised at all, just because it seemed like they were consistent and together, but then as the season goes on, things happen and challenges are apparent. Like, for instance, when your defense gets injured, you know, obviously we know that when they are missing pieces defensively, it's going to be that, like, next man up, but it can only be sustained for so long. James Conner also, like, not gaining as much on the ground. And then on top of it, you add in the fact that you're dropping passes so much so that Mike Tomlin said, hey, if you don't catch it, I'm going to put someone in that can. And then what do we see? Deontay Johnson comes back out, and then goes back in. And so they're trying to figure out how they get back to that magic of what they had before. But the problem is, as seasons go on, I mean, it's harder to stay healthy and remain healthy. And I think all of those things have not work towards their favor.
Yeah, Chiné, what the Steelers team thrived on was, we mentioned, body blow style, almost like a boxer who keeps it in close towards the torso here. They were going to beat you up on a defense that now has no Devin Bush, lost Bud Dupree the last week, Cam Hayward dinged up during that game, Vince Williams, another one of their starting linebackers, was out because of the COVID-19 protocol. And up front on the offensive line on the other side for the Pittsburgh Steelers, we've seen bodies shuffled in and out there, injuries, attrition taking over there. You've got cracks in the most important foundation for a team that wanted to play that ball control style of offense, and really that ball control style of football that we thought gave them a very interesting chance against a team like the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, Chiné, the interesting part becomes this. Ben Roethlisberger did come out after and said, you know what, if I can't play like this, maybe I need to hang it up, which sounded eerily similar to a time back in 2017. Ben Roethlisberger throws 5 interceptions against the Jacksonville Jaguars in 2017 and comes out and says, maybe I don't got it anymore, something similar to that. Well, if Steelers fans are looking to see if there's any historical precedent here that might give them some hope, the Steelers did go 10-1 after that game, make the postseason, and ultimately lose to that same Jacksonville team. But there were brighter days ahead after that game, certainly, Chiné. But as we look at this now, coming off of this game for you, obviously this is a weekend when we saw the Saints lose in a big way. Would you say Bills the next best contender to the Kansas City Chiefs?
I mean, for where we are now with the way things are trending, I'm comfortable saying that. And you know what's crazy? You know, we already knew that their defense was something that they can hang their hat on. But offensively this year, the Bills have been super impressive. And I was looking up the numbers from last year to this year. Now they're 3rd in passing offense, up from 26th last year. 10th in total offense, up from 24th last year. 8th in scoring offense, up from 23rd. So if their offense is able to keep pace with their defense, who, by the way, they allowed less than 100 rushing yards for the 3rd straight game, they're potent, and they're doing it the right way, and they're doing it in a variety of ways. And we've said that's been the number one factor. If you're going to take down the Chiefs, you have to do it in a different, you know, you have to do it different ways, because you don't know what you're going to have to do that day. We saw that scoring, especially when it came to the Miami Dolphins, scoring early and scoring often helps. But I mean, still, you still have to be able to score later on, even when it's drawn out and slow. When you have defensive players going for pick sixes, that really helps as well. So you need a lot of that magic. But if we had to pinpoint one team based on the feel right now, it has to be the Bills, Christy and Lisey.
The Bills have something to rely on right now. Josh Allen, when he is kept clean, and that connection with him and Stephon Diggs is something they can go to that is consistent. The Steelers have lost that right now. They haven't had a consistent run game for a while now, but they had a pass game that can make up for it. And all of those drops, that defense getting injured, you have cracked the things that you can rely on. And the one thing Kansas City has above everything else, that guy wearing 15 in the backfield is someone they can rely on when the bleep hits the fan. And if you don't have a go-to like that and something that can match that intensity, whoo, buddy, going to be a long, long day. Chiné and Golic Jr. reminding you to be a part of Chiné and Golic Jr. Nation on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. The college football season is heating up, and so is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you, treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. Now, coming up next, we had big questions coming off of Sunday Night Football, but we already got an answer on what the immediate future looks like for the Philadelphia Eagles. We will tell you what that is next. It's Chiné and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Y'all happy now?
Chiné and Golic Jr., the podcast.
If I hear the word spark one more time, I am just going to snap.
Don't do that. That's my team.
I didn't say sparks. Uh-huh. I said spark.
Still the same word.
Spark. Singular.
Mm-mm, no, sir.
Spark singular is a sports trope that people fall back on way too often. Sparks plural is a group of champions that we support around these parks.
Okay, I'll take that.
Chinay Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr., Chinay Agumake. And the reason everybody is talking about Spark singular, the reason everyone would be talking about the Sparks would be because of my co-host, who's a WNBA All-Star who plays for the Sparks. But everyone's looking at Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles right now, who we all said going into the weekend, yeah, you can evaluate Jalen Hurts getting his first start as a member of the Philadelphia Eagles in lieu of Carson Wentz during the course of this game. But he was probably going to need multiple because we thought there's no way in hell they're going to go out here and beat the New Orleans Saints. And then 24-21 Philadelphia Eagles over the Saints happened. So, Chinay, just a general reaction, because I think there's a ton to pull from this game. I think you could almost evaluate more about the quarterback on the other side in Taysom Hill, maybe, than about the Philadelphia Eagles. But did you see what everyone's talking about here, a spark or something different from Philadelphia with Jalen Hurts under center?
Yeah, the players, as you said in our pre-show meeting, were playing free. They finally felt like they had the weight lifted off of their chest and they could just go out there, because everyone knew that they're going up against, what was it, the number one rushing defense in the NFL. The odds were against them. So guess what? They went out there and just played, almost like, you know, remind yourself, have fun. Remind yourself you love your job. And so watching that, you know, based on how much we had talked about Philly and Carson and Jalen and all the struggles and Doug and all that stuff, it was like, whoo. Football is what we love. And for someone, for Jalen to be able to deliver that sigh of relief for Philly, even if it's temporary, because I know Cliff, our Philly stan, Philly native, probably feels like, that's basically what he said in the break. It's nice to see something good happen for them, even if it is tough or at the expense of Carson Wentz, for at least the now. And, you know, it's funny because Jalen Hurts, he became the first quarterback in the past 70 years to throw for 150 yards with a passing touchdown and rush for 100 yards in his first career start. Plus, he's the second quarterback to rush 100 yards in his debut. The first was clearly Lamar Jackson. So yeah, it was a good performance. He sparked something in them, but I think it was more so the scenario, them being at the vortex of all that conversation, all of that criticism. And guess what? They just went out there and sort of, it seemed like it was cathartic. It was a pent out release. And then it also helped when the Saints don't show up until the second half.
Yeah, that was a weird plot twist to this game, was the Saints' ineptitude. Some of that stems back to Taysom Hill, who's very boom or bust on offense right now. He has big, great plays, and then he's inexplicably bad plays at times during the course of this. But you're right, the Philadelphia Eagles were a team that stopped playing like we were supposed to be the one seed in this division and were failing. And they started playing like, all right, we got a rookie out here, a quarterback going up against a really good team. All these guys, this is a veteran-laden roster, know how difficult that is. They played like they didn't give a bleep, like they had nothing to lose. And they went out there and they reminded people that football in its simplest form, man, if you just don't make mistakes and don't make catastrophic mistakes, you can keep yourself around long enough to see if the other team will blink first. And for Jalen Hurts, who didn't blow it up, 17 of 30 for a buck 67 and 56 yards. Now, he did have over 100 yards rushing, which was a huge factor in the game, but took no sacks in this game. Had, I believe, up around 50 yards on scrambles during this game. And up until the very end, avoided the catastrophic turnover that usually plagued this Eagles offense. Here was Jalen Hurts, the Eagles quarterback, after their win this weekend.
Well, I think, first and foremost, it's a great team win. Everybody played together, believed in one another, and we put an emphasis on that this week. Playing together, playing as one, bringing energy and creating our own energy, moving with urgency, and just going out there and believing in one another. And I'm happy this group got it done today. I'm happy.
And, Chinay, we heard this probably, you know, 15, 20 minutes before going on the show, that Doug Peterson said and named Jalen Hurts the starter going into this next week's contest for Philadelphia as well. He wasn't ready to do that after the game last night. But, Chinay, the win made that easy in my mind, because it was always going to be the right thing to do to continue to start Jalen Hurts, to continue to learn about your rookie quarterback and give him some chances to develop as a player. That's going to be important to your team no matter what hat he wears, starter or backup. This win just made that demonstrably easier to do.
And on the other side, a lot of people are saying, okay, now that you're now finding out for the next few games, or even the next game at least, that Jalen is going to be out there, what effect does that have on Carson Wentz? And I feel like this is good for Carson too. I know it might be hard to step away from the game, but what this man has went through, and I heard Dan Orlovsky really outline it all day today on ESPN, what this man has went through from, you know, working so hard and being almost an MVP and then stepping aside and seeing your backup go and win a Super Bowl, and then to go back, you know, to fight back from injury again and then get injured again, and still in your head as the seasons progress, and sometimes talent is there, or even like this year, it's been diminished in a great way. now that hero ball that made you great, you're doing it now in a system where it's even harder to, you know, dance on that fine line and throw that, like, what is it, needle in a haystack and find that success when things are going that much harder for you. And so I think this is a good mental break too for Carson Wentz, because we all talked about that big contract, the $148 million or so, and how they have $70 million of that coming up very soon. Like, he is still inherently tied to Philly for the foreseeable future, ideally. But the reality is that as athletes, we never really confront our own demons. You know, sometimes we just, when we're struggling, we feel like we just have to stay in the routine and keep reminding yourself who you are. And I think Carson has been trying to do that, but now stepping away, maybe he can actually deal with some of the mental effects of what he has sustained and even overcome since 2017. And so I think it's good on both sides. You have Jalen, who's been able to provide a spark, and then now Carson maybe stepping away, he can actually talk through what he's been feeling and dealing with and, you know, overcoming the last few years, and hopefully he'll be better for that in the future.
It's going to be interesting. And like most first rounders, he is going to have every possible chance to do that in the future. The question is what that's going to look like. Coming up next, I want to play sound from one of our NFL analysts that shows us what he thinks it could look like and why I just don't think that's possible. And we'll try and get to the bottom of who's at fault in Houston as things with the Rockets and their star player James Harden continue to get more and more uncomfortable. We'll do all that after this word from ButcherBox. No one likes to actually go to the grocery store, especially during the holidays. That's why there's ButcherBox. From free-range organic chicken to heritage-breed pork, 100% grass-fed and grass-finished beef, to fresh-caught seafood like salmon and scallops, ButcherBox has over 20 different cuts of meat you can choose from, and their boxes ship fresh right to your door. Sign up today at ButcherBox.com/CJR and get free bacon for the life of your membership. That's right. You're going to get one pack of free bacon in every box for the life of your membership when you sign up at ButcherBox.com/CJR. I can't believe I'm going to say what Chiney usually says. Houston, do we really have a problem? I'm so sorry. Chiney Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
We're seeing the trend start to develop with James Harden right now. We'll let you know why that actually might make this deal more likely, why the one thing they need may be exactly what James is willing to give them. It's Chiney Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more at progressive.com. But Chiney, we talked about Jalen Hurts so much and the Philadelphia Eagles. And during the break, we're talking Cliff, who's a producer on this show, does a great job, as a diehard Eagles fan. And we saw a lot of people. Chiney, it's always amazing to me the way people let themselves get worked up about one half of football, because in the NFL, Lord, does it change from one half to the other. And Jalen Hurts came out and was incredible in the first half of that game, and especially accounting for the team that they were playing against. I think a lot of people were ready to go out and do the thing where we're like, all right, we got Newman next. And then the second half happened, and things leveled out a little bit more, and you had that one turnover at the end of the game where you said, all right, rookie things happened to a rookie playing maybe the best team in the NFC. And it's curious because it brings up the question of what we can expect long term here. Like, Cliff, I'd imagine for you and for Philadelphia natives in general, there's got to be a bit of conflict here in celebrating too early when I still look at the rest of the roster that sits around this Eagles team and says there are too many flaws for this to be something that works and is, you know, you can replicate over and over again right now.
If you talk to the regular Philadelphia fan, they're saying, bye, Carson, I want Jalen Hurts and now. But I'm a level-headed, rational human being, so I think things out. So hear me out. There's a game and a half of footage, and the Eagles played Taysom Hill. Jalen Hurts isn't ready yet, and I'm not sure what he is, but can we just get a bigger sample size? That's all I'm asking. Like, can we stop overreacting and just get a bigger sample size? What does Keyshawn say in the morning? Just chill. Can we just chill?
Just chill.
That was great. You see him fighting his own joy, though, around here right now? Like, you can't just be happy for a day at this point.
I don't know why Cliff always tries to flex. In the break, I was like, can you just be happy that you had a performance that was great? And albeit, yes, you might have some issues trying to determine where to move forward from here, take your win, because they've been hard to come around this year, Cliff. But you're right. You're 100%. Bigger sample size, and then you'll know what to do.
But the future is what to do is the question right now. And Dan Orlovsky, our ESPN NFL analyst, had this to say about what happens in Philadelphia should Jalen Hurts keep playing well like this.
The more Jalen Hurts plays and plays better and wins football games, the question of can we trade Carson Wentz becomes more realistic. I know the draft picks and the money. I get all that. It's the NFL. Nothing should surprise anybody. And then two, if people in that organization believe that the draft pick of Jalen Hurts affected Carson Wentz and Jalen Hurts continues to play well, How do you have both of them on your team at the same time next year? I don't see how that's even remotely possible. So yesterday was great for Jalen Hurts. It was incredibly concerning for me when it comes to Carson Wentz.
Chiney, I'll say this. I think those financial realities are a lot, especially given Carson Wentz is a diminished commodity right now if you're looking to find a place to trade him. Now, maybe you find the perfect solution and Frank Reich and that Indianapolis job start to open up in the ways that make logical sense to a lot of other people. But there's no substitute for getting your eyes watered the way Carson Wentz has in this situation right now, Chiney. Like, as a professional, getting told that, hey, your job is no longer guaranteed, it's not sweet out here in the way you thought it was as a first-round pick, as a guy with a second contract and all of this, tasting your own blood and your own sports mortality, I think is something that can change the way that you approach all this. And so it's not set in stone that having Jalen Hurts and Carson Wentz on the same roster is out of the question, because you're going to have to get a different Carson Wentz next year if he's going to be the guy you trot out there because of that contract. And he's going to want to be different next year for those same reasons.
Father Time is undefeated, and even the greatest of the greats have to deal with this reality that maybe eventually the team might want to move in a different direction if you don't have a good season or if you're getting older. Tom Brady had those thoughts going into this coming season, and guess what? He moved. Aaron Rodgers probably had the similar thoughts when Jordan Love was drafted. This is just what happens in sports, and if you haven't had that experience or you haven't jumped on a team and had someone else at your same position, it will happen at some point, and I think Carson is just getting it in a very, very stiff up front.
It's very, very different. It's going to be very interesting to watch. We'll get back into plenty more of this conversation around Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles. It's Chiney Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golick Jr. and Chiney Agumake. But one of the other things that we heard, bits of news surrounding a maybe unhappy star player, James Harden, still seeking a trade from the Rockets despite John Wall's arrival in Houston. Chiney, even potentially we saw opened it up to more teams. We know we talked about Miami and Philadelphia last week. So, Chiney, I brought up this interesting question because we looked at all the evolutions of this team with all the different rosters, all the different lineups they put around James Harden over the years, and now him saying, no, I don't want to be part of something new with John Wall. And it begs the question, as we look at this now, the situation we're in, who's at fault for this when you look at it? James Harden for not being able to make any of the different iterations that Houston trotted out at him work, or Houston for missing out on some move potentially that could have changed this, that could have put James Harden in a better spot to succeed?
I want to say everybody, but as you were asking me this question, I started laughing to myself because I'm like, Chiney, you really are the athlete's apologist. Like, you will come out here and defend any athlete at all costs, especially NBA players, especially ones that come from your hometown that you've seen mature into an MVP, a scoring leader like James Harden has. But I guess my perspective here is this. The time has expired on the Houston Rockets with James Harden in the sense that James Harden came, he left OKC, he took a bet on himself saying, I can be this star that really changes the game, and he delivered on that. He set the record when it came to the last few years, most points, you know, in the NBA. He reinvented the way we look at step backs, even for a lefty specifically. Big picture here, James Harden has been around. He's done what he has needed to do. And basically, he's had a system around him that has not necessarily forced him to say, all right, team ball is our best way to succeed. It's actually ISO ball with you. And let's figure out the system that can exploit you as much as possible in the sense that, all right, we're going to have all the focus be you. And guess what? That sort of does hurt your team in the long term. But we're going with this different approach where we're going to shoot more threes and lean into that one-on-one game. And he's done that. I mean, who wouldn't be happy with that? That's what has made him a superstar. But over the course of the years, if you look at the Rockets, started, and this is just my like last few years, you know, recently, Dwight Howard comes and you're going to have pick and roll ball. And then how about this? We're going to go with a team around you as a star, the one certified star. We're not going to, you know, gang you up with a whole bunch of stars. You're going to do it and have a lot of serviceable members, including Montrezl Harrell and Patrick Beverley on those, you know, team first oriented squads that weren't like players that were highly dependent. Then you're like, how about this? Let's bring in a leader in Chris Paul that will demand greatness. And then that doesn't work. All right, let's bring in your friend, Russell Westbrook, and you guys can tag team and it can work and it can be a different look. And now where are you? You're at a position where now, you know, a lot of the NBA has moved in directions of finding more stability with their stars. And also teams actually have identities. And the Rockets have not had an identity. On top of it, now you have a new head coach, a new GM, fairly new ownership. So to press the reset button at the age of 31, he's probably not going to want to take that bet or take that gamble. Instead, he wants to go to a contender that probably has that vision and identity. But it does put some onus on him, on James Harden, to adapt to a system.
So it's James Harden's fault.
What? How did victory arm.
That's what I took from that answer. Is this one's on James Harden. Chinee Agumake saying James Harden at fault for what's going on in Houston.
That's a lie. Don't listen to him.
I can't believe what I'm hearing right
You're
now.
You're crazy.
By the way.
Am I an apologist, by the way? Do I sound like one? Or
Only a apologist isn't the word I would use. Thoughtful analyst sitting next to a gas bag in me is what I would use. By the way, for what it's worth, Stephen Silas, their head coach, said the plan is for Harden to play in Tuesday's preseason game against the San Antonio Spurs. So let me know how that one works out for you. But and we'll see. Change maybe on the horizon still in Houston, but coming up next, change on the horizon in Cleveland. One sports team doing something that's felt inevitable. A lot of people asking, should they still have to? We'll get to that next, and we'll do it after this word from AT&T.
There are a lot of reasons to like AT&T 5G, to be obsessed with AT&T 5G. For example, maybe you're Jalen Hurts scrambling in your starting debut. Then you'll like AT&T 5G because you're fast. Maybe you're Patrick Mahomes, no matter the score, no matter the sco. Then you'll like AT&T 5G because you're secure. Or maybe you're Andy Reid and haven't missed a day of work in 11 years. Then you'll like AT&T 5G because you're reliable. Switch to AT&T 5G. It's fast, secure, and reliable, and now it's nationwide. AT&T 5G is not complicated. 5G requires a compatible plan. 5G may not be in your area. See AT&T.com/5G for you for 5G coverage details. Cleveland, the latest team to drop their name. Why now and what more to expect? That's next on Chenea and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus.
Chenea and Golic Jr., the podcast.
The 21 season. Man, even when you're trying to do right, some people can't help but do wrong. Chenea and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the show. Pennzoil Performance Line, Mike Golic Jr., Chenea Agumake. That announcement you heard is true. Owner Paul Dolan says the Cleveland Indians are no longer going to go by the Cleveland Indians after that 2021 season. They're going to join other franchises like the Washington Football Team in changing that name and making this move. And Chenea, this is an interesting one for a lot of people. Obviously, Chief Wahoo, their former mascot, the emblem that used to be plastered all over the jerseys, that was deeply problematic in a lot of ways, was something they distanced from in the last few years. The Washington Football Team used to go by a bona fide racial slur, and so that was a lot easier for people to compartmentalize. But for you, when you look at this situation, Cleveland deciding to go the other way with their name here, is this something that felt necessary, felt inevitable here?
Absolutely. Yes. And I think it's something that slowly is happening. And I know society right now is speaking on a lot of grievances and, you know, in support of people that actually feel like there is offense here and there's a rightful claim. And I was researching this and I saw that the Cleveland owner, Paul Dolan, he quote said, "Hearing firsthand the stories and experiences of Native American people, we gained a deep understanding of how tribal communities feel about the team name and the detrimental effects it has on them. We also spoke to local civic leaders who represent diverse populations in our city." And so they did their homework. They heard the public pressure also with these conversations, especially after the Washington Football Team makes their decision. And then now it's like, you know, and not to diminish it, but it's like, who's next? Like, who's next in this situation to address? This is exactly what needs to happen. I'm not surprised it's happened because this is exactly the way that society is moving towards. But it's glad to see that teams are making the decision to actually do it instead of wait and wait until it becomes an even greater problem for them in the future. And I guess the only reason why it's like, don't stop, like stop now. Just being on the inside of a lot of brand conversations and even with like our WNBA and how we go with our partners to try to build plans for like seasons in the future, it's hard to remove some of the things that they've had in, you know, in plan and in store years in advance. Like, so for instance, while you might say, oh, let's just get the new jerseys for next year, maybe some of them have already been printed and a lot of the brand engagements have already been created. And so they've already paid for those and they have to pay those off literally when it comes to getting those deals done. That's why I'm like a little bit forgiving when it's like, not now, it's in a year or so. But I do see both sides of this in the sense that it's something that we want now and people have pressed for now, but it's also something that will come later. And we'll see. I mean, it's taken the Washington Football Team a little while to get a name. I wonder how long it'll take the Cleveland team.
Well,
or the Cleveland baseball team.
Yeah. Well, and Chenea, I guess that's the part that you just brought up there is the interesting part to me when people announce this and then say we're not going to do it till then, because it feels like a lot of announcements that we heard over the summer from the Washington Football Team in smaller weeks is we're going to undergo a review here, but we haven't announced any changes yet. And then they announced the change that was coming but didn't announce the change for another couple of weeks. And this is more PR botching than anything else in this instance, why you announce it at this point if you don't have plans to change it until after this year seems a bit strange when no one was really asking anymore in this spot right here, because we saw Washington do away with a lot of those same problems in a very short amount of time. And the crazy part is nobody died. Like, we've had the Washington football team all year. We've had the Washington football team that's now leading the NFC East. And nobody has cared about what the name of that team is. They have cared that Chase Young went out there and had the game of his life and has looked every bit worth the number two overall pick. They care that this team is back in contention and Ron Rivera seems to be paying early dividends, even as the quarterback position looks like it could have some interesting wrinkles going forward. And so, Chiney, I feel like Washington has given everyone proof of concept. You can do this. And provided your team is good, that's the only thing that matters in this process. A name was never a tie to the golden ages or teams or respect or anything like that. It's how good is the team that you want to try and root for.
Which brings us up, and I'm glad you went there, because if we're going to talk about the NFC East, because I'll stop saying least, because this Washington football team at least is putting respect on their name by removing theirs at the start of the season. But the greater idea here is that they're building the culture for success. They bring in Coach Ron Rivera, who also has battles of his own, literally facing cancer and going through treatment in the middle of inspiring his team, an inspiring quarterback that is going to be the comeback player of the year. Like I said, drop their former name. They have, you know, workplace harassment issues when it comes to the front office and the women and the allegations that were made there that they had to address. It just finally seems like when you have the right pieces that make the right decisions, the product on the field finally is showing us that, hey, this is why the word culture matters, because it seeps in everything that you do. And speaking of Chase Young, my goodness, it's like watching him play, every team would want someone like that, that tenacious. But also, it was fun to watch that touchdown, because I think he's going what is it, Jeremy Chin, like going up a head-to-head when it comes to defensive rookie. It's been really fun to see that go on later on in the season, but he became the first player in team history with that fumble return for a TD, a forced fumble and a sack in one game. And it just seems like the spirit around this organization, ever since they started cleaning things up, has produced better play on the field, and that's why they're leading the NFC East, which is funny. So, like, where do you see everything? The Eagles got to win, but unfortunately, it's almost like too little too late, and they still have even bigger problems for the foreseeable future. The Cowboys are the Cowboys, and the Giants come back to life. How do you evaluate overall, like, obviously the good work by the Washington football team, but, like, overall, the NFC East?
Well, I think a lot's going to depend on what happens with the quarterback situation there. We saw Alex Smith exit the game in the second half for the Washington football team, and Dwayne Haskins make an appearance back in there and had some plays that reminded you that there were issues with Dwayne Haskins going into some of this and coming in on short notice. But I'll say this, Chiney, again, we talk about things that you can rely on. Washington football team has the single most reliable unit in that division. That defense is a bona fide now. The way that we've seen them perform, especially that front seven when Chase Young was healthy and active and in that lineup over the course of the season, has been a difference maker. Him and Montez Sweat and the rest of that group have become the bona fide. And so if I'm going to look at a division that's largely full of football teams that aren't very good, I'm going to look for the one thing I can count on to not embarrass me, and that is the Washington defense.
That right there is a sermon, a preach, all points encapsulated.
You know what it is, quite frankly? It's I stood next to Chase Young on the field one time, and I realized how terrifying that creature is, and so I ain't going to go against them.
You felt smaller? You felt way smaller, huh?
Very much so. But coming up next, we're going to ride the good wave. We talked about the good feelings around the Buffalo Bills. We get on maybe even a bigger fan than Christine Lisi. Next.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.